Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. This is the reading of God's word. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door and saying, Lord, open up to us. Then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, you ate and drink in your, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. And they will come from east and west and from the north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, and as we hear your word, let us see what our Lord has accomplished for us. Let us have a wonderful time with our God as we hear your word. And Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly and all of us will understand and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. And Father, receive all the glory as we hear your word. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, through the book of Luke, we are looking at our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. And he is going through Jerusalem. From chapter 9, Luke has been telling us that Jesus is going to Jerusalem. Now, why is he going there? Well, he's going there to die. The wage of sins of his people must be paid by Jesus Christ, because no kingdom of God without it. Thus he is going to Jerusalem to die on the cross, bearing his people's sin, to die in the places of his people. What we are looking at is Jesus Christ himself striving to enter the narrow gate. Last time we looked at verse 24, where our Lord told us to strive to enter the narrow door. But today, we will look at the whole unit, verses 22 through 30, which also includes that verse 24. So let us begin, verse 22. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. Just like what we said at the beginning, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. On the way, someone asked a question to Jesus. Verse 23. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? Well, we saw this briefly last time. This question is coming from the heart that believes that whole of Israel will be saved. The person who is asking the question, he heard what Jesus has been teaching so far, and he probably saw how Jesus treated the religious leaders of Israel, and that made him wonder. Thus the question, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? Well, God teaches very clearly in the Old Testament. I mean, in the New Testament, sorry. The Israelites at that time thought God has promised that He would save the whole Israel. Well, if not, then what happened to God's promise to Israel? Because if they were listening to Jesus and later listening to Paul, it's clear not whole Israel will be saved. So their question is then what happened to God's promise? He made promise to Abraham and his descendants. And Paul answers, and we will look at that answer more clearly next time. But Romans chapter 9, verse 6 says, "But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel." In that verse, you see where Israel twice. But it is not referring to, they are not referring to the same thing. One is referring to earthly Israel, and the other, heavenly Israel. So not all earthly Israel is heavenly Israel. So we need to understand the promise that God has made to Abraham is not to earthly Israel, but promise was to heavenly Israel, which you and I are members of. There is ethnic Israel and there is heavenly Israel. God's promise concerns the heavenly Israel. God made the promise to Abraham and his descendant, who is Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now the promise was spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, not that you're ethnic Jew, but if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. It's very clearly written. So we, the church, who are in Christ, we are the recipient of that promise. And that's what the Bible clearly teaches. It has nothing to do with ethnic Israel. Romans chapter 2, verse 28a, 29a, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly." So you and I, we are Jews. True Jews. The Old Testament Jews were type. Anyway, Jesus does not answer that question directly. Rather, he says in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." This is what we saw last time. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 says the same thing in much more detail. "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it."
The Christian life is not an easy life. It is, in fact, very difficult, very hard. There might be much sufferings, much persecutions, and much temptations, much difficult times. It is the lonely door and the lonely way. Only few find it, the Bible says. But it is all worth it. Why is it worth it? Because it is the door to heaven. It is the door to Jesus Christ. You might have to lose all things in this world, but you gain Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He lived this narrow life. The striving to enter the narrow door is to imitate Jesus Christ, is to participate in His life. And we must understand that the narrow door and the narrow way are not just pointing to the life of Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ Himself is the narrow door and narrow way. Only in Jesus Christ, only by Jesus Christ, only through Jesus Christ. You see, you hear these things. There might be many ways to go up to the top of a mountain, but there is only one way to heaven. And that is Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Strive, Jesus says. Meaning intense effort is needed. We saw all this to let us go to the next verse. Verse 24b to 25. "For many, I tell you, will seek to enter it and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open up to us,' then he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know where you are from.'" The door to heaven is not only narrow, but it is open for a limited time. And once it is closed, then it is closed forever. The head of the house, referring to Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, "He who is holy, Jesus, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens." Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes back, the door will be shut forever. And do you see it here? It is Jesus who opens and closes. He has the complete control. And when it is shut, then no matter how much people cry out, "Lord, Lord, open to us," it will not be open. Jesus will say to them, "I do not know where you are from." Matthew chapter 7, verse 23 says, "I never knew you." You see, the word "know," knowing, in the Bible, it's not just head knowledge. You know, I give this example so often, so you're probably sick of it. But President Biden, we know him. We know where he lives, and we know what he does. When you look at the news, you know him, but you do not know him because he doesn't know you. And there are many people who go to church, they know God like they know President Biden. They know about God. Just like they know Biden, but Biden does not know him. They know God, they say, but God does not know. And it's not head knowledge we're talking about, because Of course Jesus knows who they are. He's God. He knows everything.
Then what does he say?
He's saying, I have no relationship with you. That's what it means to know in the Bible, to have relationship.
Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus Christ.
So angel comes and says, you are pregnant with the Lord. And Mary says, how can this be? I don't know, man.
You understand what she is saying. She knows what man is. She did not have any relationship with man.
That's what know means in the Bible. If you know God, you're having relationship with God.
Just like your wife, just like your husband, just like your boyfriend and girlfriend. You guys get together, you guys talk, you guys find out what they like, what they don't like. You guys know one another. There's a relationship.
Do you have a relationship with God? Or you just know about Him?
Talk to God. He talks to you through the Bible. You talk to Him by prayer.
You get to know Him, what He likes, what He doesn't like, as you study the Bible.
And every single morning you get up, you start talking to God. Your relationship with Him begins. All day long, you know His presence, you talk to Him, and He talks to you. Because you study so much the Bible, you remember these verses.
Better relationship will have more conversation.
If you don't study the Bible, which means God is not talking to you, how else God's going to talk to you unless you go to the Bible? So God doesn't talk to you and you don't pray, you don't talk to Him. Of course there's no relationship.
But you start having relationship with God. Always talking to Him. Listening to Him.
And ask Him, do you like this or do you like that? He will let you know.
One way or the other, if you truly want to know so that you could please Him, He will let you know.
Please, brothers and sisters, Christianity is not about do's and don'ts. It's about relationship. Relationship with God, our eternal husband, whom we love dearly, and He loves you dearly. Loving relationship. Joyful. And it's not our imagination. Because we say God is what? Three persons. That's very important as we describe God. Three persons in one Godhead. Meaning, I am a person and God is a person. So the relationship that I have with God is a person-to-person relationship.
Close relationship. And if you don't know God, well, get to know Him. Have a relationship with Him.
You know, how can I describe this? You gotta have it yourself.
Oh yes, He talks to you. You hear Him.
Yeah, just any situation and poop, there's a couple verses that pops into your head. Because you know what He's saying. You know what He said.
Of course here Jesus knows who they are. What Jesus is saying is that He does not have any relationship with them. And in our passage, Jesus is saying that the time is running out. Meaning it is very urgent. You know, many people who go to church, they say things like, oh, you know, I will believe better later. You know, now I just live according to this world, and later I will get right with God. No, Jesus says, it will shut one day. And you don't know what day that will be. It could be today. And it's not just to scare you. We're just telling you the truth. It will shut. And maybe later, maybe too late. Yes. Time is right now, Jesus is saying. Because once it shuts forever. Verse 26. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. Yes, they were there when Jesus taught in the streets. They ate and drank in his presence. In today's language, they were familiar with the teachings of the Bible, and they are even active in a local church. In Matthew, these people say, Matthew 7:22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? These people call Jesus Lord, Lord. But it doesn't mean anything. If He is your Lord, that means you will obey. That's what Lord is. If you don't obey Lord, He will kill you. So if you call Him Lord, you better obey. These people, they're just saying it. Because they have no intention of obeying God. Oh, the world will say, oh, it's okay, just, it's all right, just do it. Yeah, you know, you're not married, but it's okay to have sex, just do it. It's sin. Especially you young people. How can you ask God to bless your relationship when you sin? At least if you want to ask God to bless that union, you should obey God. Do not listen to these temptations that the world gives you. You do what God says and ask Him to bless. These people called Jesus Lord, Lord. They promised, they prophesied in His name. They casted out demons in His name. In His name they performed many miracles. But that is not what separates true Christians from the false one. Understand that. If I perform some miracles in front of you, that does not make me Christian. In the Old Testament, you see so many false, you know, disciples of false God. They fake the miracles. They actually did these things. When we read Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, even Judas Iscariot casted out demons and healed many who were sick. You read it, go home in Matthew 10. And obviously Judas, he was never saved. And yet he performed miracles. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, for false Christs Christ. False Jesus. And false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. That's the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 speaks of Antichrist. Chapter 2, verse 10 through 11. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Isn't it interesting when the Bible describes false teachers, false Christ, and what they're going to do when they come? It's all about signs and wonders, miracles. But when you read John chapter 14, 15, 16, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, and Jesus says, when Holy Spirit comes, He will do this. And what did Jesus say? Well, Holy Spirit comes, He will witness Jesus Christ through His Word. Holy Spirit, through God's Word, witness Christ. False teachers, signs and wonders. If you do not understand this, I don't know how more clearly I can say this. And yet, the false teachers are all about signs and wonders. These people really thought that they belong to the kingdom of God. There are many like these kind of people in the church today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloved, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, Bible says. Avoid these men, especially you girls. If your husband-to-be, if he wants you to sin with him, walk away. He's not worth it. If he truly loves you, he will never ask you to sin. Oh, I'm going to get married. It's okay. Don't listen to that junk. Listen to God. Now, I lost my space. Verse 27. Oh, and I got it. It says, these people, they are so active in the church, involving in learning the Bible, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, they always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that interesting? These people, they continue to study, learning, but never come to the truth. See, don't misunderstand. Don't think that these false ones, they don't even read the Bible. They don't do any of it. They do all of it. But they do not come to the truth. Luke chapter 13, verse 27, and I will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. Jesus says the same thing as before. They do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not have any relationship with Jesus Christ. Thus, there is no way for them to take care of their sins, so they are the evildoers. These are very active in the church. This is why they are truly mad at what Jesus says to them. Luke chapter 13, verse 28, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. See, they clearly believed that they will enter the kingdom of God and join Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets. They thought that their worldly physical relationship with Abraham, being worldly descendants of Abraham, was enough to make them enter the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 3, verse 8, therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our fathers. For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children of Abraham. You see, they must repent of their sins. And it is the same thing today. And I want you to really hear this. You and I, we cannot be at ease just because we are the members of the church. We must make sure that we believe in Jesus Christ and we repent of our sins. You cannot have confidence and peace when you sin and you don't repent. And repenting is not just saying, I'm sorry, but there's that effort to turn away from that sin. Look at the redemptive history in the Bible. Look at the whole Israel. They were all covenant people. In today's language, they were all members of the church. But they failed to trust Christ and believe in Christ. They failed to repent of their sins. And look at what happened to them. Rejected by God. I'm not saying we're saved by works. But if you're truly saved, then you're not going to be like these people. You will repent. You will take your sin very seriously. Brothers and sisters, we must repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ. There's nothing worse than Jesus telling any one of us that he does not know. Esau, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. He was so hungry, and he sold his birthright. Today's language, he sold the citizens of heaven for a single meal because he was so hungry. And he was a covenant child. He was a member of church. But he sold the citizens of heaven for a worldly meal. You often hear this. Heaven, what does it matter? When I'm hungry right here and right now, I don't care about heaven. We cannot live like that. We cannot, just for worldly things, sell our heavenly citizenship. Brothers and sisters, we must examine ourselves. Are we striving to enter the narrow door? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. God says to those who are sure of salvation, God says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about your calling and choosing you. I mean, Bible is Calvinist, obviously, and yet Bible says to people who believe, make sure that you are called. Be more diligent to make certain about your calling. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Brothers and sisters, you cannot say you're saved and you just don't care about what God has commanded us and you don't obey. You cannot say, I'm a believer, and yet you just live in sin and you don't even repent. It just doesn't work that way. The church, church members. But if you look at whole Israel, they're all church members. They're covenant people. And look at what happened to them, because they sin without repenting. They just continue to sin. You must believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud, in the sea, meaning that they all became members. Because you become member of this church by baptizing. Same thing. They were all baptized. And they ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. For they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happen as example for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. You see, Israelites, all members of covenant, but most of them, they died in the wilderness. They could not even go into the promised land. But what does the Bible say? All these things happen for example for us, so that we may not do the same thing. Don't just look at Israelites and say, oh, what a stupid people. How can, when they see what God is doing, how could they do all these things? Well, God wrote those things, those events to us, so that we look at it, so that we may not do the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Brothers and sisters, and we must study the Bible well, so we may follow Jesus Christ of the Bible, not just a Jesus that sinful hearts created. After Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, the sinners misunderstood that Jesus would give them the food of this world. And John chapter 6, verse 15, so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, let me ask you a question. What was wrong with these people wanting Jesus to be their king? Isn't that what should happen? And yet Jesus just flees. Because they thought Jesus would make them rich and healthy in this world. That's why when they wanted to make Jesus their king, he just leaves. Bible is very clear. The fake ones will follow the fake ones. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world. And the world listens to them. But you and I, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Brothers and sisters, we've got to take Christian life more seriously. You know, there's a really interesting verse. I stood over this verse for quite a bit, long time. Because it's really interesting. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30 through 31. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. Appalling and horrible things happen in the land. And what is that? The prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? See, the covenant people did this. Today's language. Pastors teach false things. And the church exercise. Church does whatever they want. And yet people love it. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Do you think it is any different today than Jeremiah's time? And you have to understand the members of the church did this. Covenant people did this. Luke 13, verse 29, and they will come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God, the citizens of it will come from all over. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. We see a wonderful picture. The Gentiles will join the true people of God in the Old Testament. Those who said they were the descendants of Abraham in our passage were not able to enter, but Gentiles who are outside of the covenant of God are brought in all over the whole universe. But see, this was foretold by our God, even in the Old Testament, many times over. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 11, many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day and will become my people. Then I will dwell in your midst and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, for from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense is going to be offered to my name. And grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations. I could read to you many, many verses like that in the Old Testament. Already telling, God's people, the citizens of heaven. It's not just going to be Jews, but every language, every people, every tribe, they're all gathered into kingdom. Revelation chapter 21, verse 24, a picture of heaven. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Many, many verses in the Old Testament witnesses the same thing. I know it's getting a little bit longer, but hang in there. See, in the Old Testament, the Gentiles were not God's people. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of household, God's household. We're at the last verse. Luke 13 verse 30. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. We said this many times at the beginning of the book of Luke. What Jesus Christ has done, you could describe in so many ways, but one way is that the world has been turned upside down. The Old Testament Israelites, they were first, but in Jesus, they have become last. The Gentiles are now brought into the kingdom of God. The last are now first in Jesus Christ. The last becomes the first, and the first becomes the last. And that is the flow of the redemptive history. But it could have different meaning. The last of the world are now the first in heaven. Christians are the last in this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty and poorly clothed and are roughly treated and are homeless. And we toil working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. And when we are slandered, we try to conciliate. And we have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. Do you understand? The last, the scum of the world has become the first, the citizens of heaven. Brothers and sisters, let us believe. We have already entered the narrow door. And we are continuing the striving to enter it. And we are in Jesus Christ and we believe in Jesus Christ. We are known by our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 3. If anyone loves God, he is known by him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19b, the Lord knows who those are His. John chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Brothers and sisters, do you follow Jesus? Is that how you live every day? You get up and say, I'm going to follow Jesus today. Or Jesus has nothing to do what you do all day. Is that how you live? That Jesus doesn't even occur in your thoughts. And you say you love Him. You say that to your wife. You know, I love you, but I never thought of you any, not even once in my... Let's see if that works. Go tell your wife. Even though I don't think of you at all, I love you. And how can we say we love Jesus when we don't even think about Him? That we don't miss Him. Do you love Him? If you do, you will obey Him. God says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Do you repent of your sins? Who will participate in the banquet of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God? Spiritually, we are already participating with them. Revelation 19, verse 9, blessed are those who are invited to marriage supper of the Lamb. Luke chapter 22, verse 38, Jesus says, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. This is our spirit, present spiritual reality of heaven. And it will be visible one day when Jesus returns. Now, let me just say this and we'll finish. As Gentiles, you and I, we were last, but we became first in Jesus Christ. But now, as first, we must do our best not to become the last. Israelites, Old Testament members of the church, they were first. But because they sinned and never repented, they became last. Gentiles, we were last, but we became first. But now, as first, you better make sure you don't become last. Understand what God is telling you. It's not okay just sinning as if it's nothing and not repenting. It's not okay to focus on this world. But you must live according to what God says. These people, they thought they were okay. Oh, I'm going to join Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm going to be in the kingdom. And yet they sinned and never repented. Understand, we're not talking about salvation by works. But if you are truly saved, you will repent of your sins. You will turn around from that sin. You will try. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in striving against sin. Did you? When fighting sin, did you fight until the draw of your blood? I don't think so. I don't think I ever did that. So don't tell God, oh, I tried. No, you haven't. You did not try yet. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. So let us try. Let us live our life joyously in the joyous relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And if that relationship to be joyous, you have to repent of your sins. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for warning us. We are too lazy when it comes to fighting with sin, when it comes to striving to enter that narrow door.
repent, you have said. So, Father, let us repent. Let us truly repent of our sins and turn away from that sin. And let us live that holy life that you have saved us to, save us for. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.